swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. We've got U.S. Champions, the Columbus Crew, win a third MLS Cup with a 2-1 win over LAFC. Clemson winning the NCAA College Cup 2-1 over Notre Dame. Notre Dame coached by a local product, Chad Riley. And tonight, live in studio, this is where it gets really good. Houston Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen and GM Pat Onstad. Tonight we'll be live in studio. We're going to do three segments with them. We will take phone calls, and we will go top to bottom after an exceptional season for the Houston Dynamo. Soccer Matters at ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, and tonight we're on the air. Your very humble host here, Glenn Davis, streaming again at ESPN975.com. Call-in number tonight will be 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. By the way, and I know, Guillermo, you love Little Patagonia empanadas. Well, guess what? We've got Little Patagonia empanadas in studio here tonight. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad has given him a big thumbs up. He's in our green room. LittlePatagoniaHouston.com. A big thank you to them for providing empanadas tonight of all different types. Beef, chicken, vegan. Because Ben Olsen likes the vegetables. All right. So 5393 Westheimer, it's Little Patagonia. All right. Manchester United out of Europe. Comes as no surprise. Boos echoing down at Old Trafford today. We'll talk a little bit about the Champions League, and we will remind you that Liga MX, the finals, starts Thursday with Club America taking on Tigres for the Apertura 2023 title. Before we get to Liga MX, though, and what is an exceptional matchup, let's talk a little bit about the MLS Cup final. Columbus with a 2-1 victory. At lower.com field looked absolutely exceptional on television. Cucho Hernandez penalty kick in the 33rd minute would put Columbus up 1-0.
In the last year and a half with the Columbus Crew, just past the half hour mark of MLS Cup. Cucho scores!
All right, so that made it 1-0, and very quickly after that, literally 4 minutes later, Yeboah, who had an outstanding game from a wide position, made it 2-0 in the 37th.
How about that? Yeboah got behind Olix and Yeboah!
Dennis Bouanga would pull one back for LAFC in the 74th minute.
Oh, is he going to be tested again? Murillo charging forward. Murillo into the middle. Bouanga!
Would end 2-1. Columbus wins another title, their third overall, and in that new lower.com stadium. Eric Goodman up in Austin is going to be on the show a little bit later tonight, but we're going to talk about that whole interesting episode where, you know, save the Crew. You know, they wanted a new stadium, weren't getting it. All of a sudden, new ownership comes in. And the new stadium is ultimately built, and now they've won a title. And there you go, right? And there was always an angst at the Austin fans. The Austin fans had nothing to do with stealing your team. They were just people that were happy to have professional soccer. And that was much like the Houston Dynamo and the San Jose Earthquakes when the Earthquakes were relocated to Houston. All right, so let's move into Liga MX now. Liga MX. And we're talking about Club America. Here's Julian Quiñones making it goal number 5 for America. This is in their round against Atletico San Luis. They won the first leg 5-0.
Como el América aparece acá, vamos a ver si la tocan a Cabecita, sí o no. La pelota va para Jonathan. Cabecita, ¿qué hace? Regresa Quiñones, remate, gol. El América. Las Águilas del América están en la final del fútbol mexicano.
Fútbol mexicano, absolutely. Juan Pablo Vigón scoring the winning goal for Tigres. They get a 2-1 aggregate win over Pumas. By the way, América won that 5-2 on aggregate. They played their second leg back in Mexico City, and they lost 2-0 to San Luis, and the fans were booing América. But to Tigres, well, guess what? One of the best teams in recent time, actually the best team in recent years, in Liga MX. They get a 2-1 aggregate win over UNAM Pumas.
Espectacular, en un macizo remate, gran jugada de Córdoba, despacha a todos, el centro, está el empate, el disparo, ¡gol!
All right, so that sets up the 2023 Apertura Final. Anybody have any thoughts on it? 713-780-3776. It's Club America with the most titles in Liga MX history with 13, followed by Chivas with 12, taking on Tigres, who are the current holders. First leg is in Monterrey Thursday night. Who's going? 713-780-3776. Second leg, Mexico City on Sunday, 7:30 Central. This is a great matchup. This is a can't-miss TV. This was like the Dynamo in the playoffs this year. This is can't-miss TV. And, of course, we got a city full of Tigres fans. We got a city full of Rayados fans. And we got a lot of Club America fans here. As well. So Club America this year ended up in first place, 12 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses. Had injuries. Went out in the round of 16 in the League's Cup here in the U.S. Andre Jardine, the manager. They won the Liga MX regular season title, which, again, gets a bit demystified because of a playoff system, right? Nobody's thinking about Cincinnati or St. Louis anymore with the best records and teams winning their divisions and one of them winning the Supporter Shield. Club America, 16 games now undefeated. Knocked off León in the quarters, 4-2 on aggregate. San Luis, we just mentioned, 5-2. Team that scores a boatload of goals, by the way, late. So keep that in mind as they go into the home-and-home with Tigres. All right, so a lot of familiar names. Diego Valdez, Henry Martin, who's also with the U.S. national team. Julian Quiñones, Colombian. Sebastian Caceres, Diego Valdez. And some will say that putting them under pressure a little bit can expose them. So we'll see. Quiñones makes things happen. Valdez is the playmaker under Andre Jardine. Tigres has only lost 1-14. Right, Guillermo? 1-14. You watch Liga MX all the time. It's only 1-14 they've lost. So I know you were already telling me in the elevator that it's Club America's, but I think you can't discount Tigres and what they've done. They've only lost one game in 14.
Yeah, definitely not. I do think América is the better team, but like I was telling you earlier, in these games that matter, in these finals, Tigres have a record in these past couple years, which, as a Rayados fan myself, is hard to admit, but can only admire.
Yeah, that's I can see the pain in your and anguish in your eyes as you mention that. All right, Tigres coached by Robert Siboldi. By the way, some people will say they have the better depth than Club America. So I mentioned they've only lost 1-14. They won the Champions Cup, if you remember, over LAFC. It's a mix of veterans and youth. Quarterfinals, 5-2 aggregate over Puebla. Semifinals, a little bit harder run, 2-1 over Pumas. By the way, same starting lineup in two consecutive games. Club America was able to make 6 changes in that second leg after the explosive 5-0 victory in leg number 1. So we'll talk a little bit about that. André Pierre Gignac, the living legend, has only started 1 game in the last 4 due to injury. So we'll see what part he plays in this against Club America. I mean, nobody can ever doubt that guy. I mean, maybe the greatest player ever at Tigres, certainly in the conversation. They've got depth. They've got individuals that can change a game. I think a lot I would say you give them a little bit of an edge in the movement and mobility category with some of their individuals, Diego Lainez, Sebastian Cordova. They also may have the edge in goal. Excuse me, taking a drink of water here, losing a voice. Noel Guzman, eccentric goalkeeper, big personality. He adds to the excitement. I see you shaking your head, Guillermo. Why are you shaking your head about Guzman, the goalkeeper?
Because he's the perfect example of a player you want on your team, and if not, you absolutely hate him. And watching him be the goalkeeper for Tigres in these past decade was an absolute pain, I must add.
There you go. I like that. A lot of players like that. Yeah, so Tigres, their last semifinals, same lineup, two straight games. Guzman, Angulo, Samir, Pizarro, Aquino. Rafael Carioca in midfield. Gorarian in midfield. Cordova, Lainez kind of bringing some width, but also running the channels. Vigón behind Ibáñez. That was their lineup. Six changes were made, and the six guys that were starter for Club America in their first leg was Julián Quiñones, Fidalgo, Zendejas, who's the U.S. international, right? How do you feel he's done for the U.S., Guillermo?
I mean, he's like 25. The whole situation and saga that followed him was kind of threw me off guard, if I'm being honest. But I'm excited to see him, you know, succeed on a team like the U.S. because Mexico's been having a bunch of roster issues and all this other stuff. But that's a different conversation.
For sure. Back four, we already mentioned Malagón in goal, Fuentes, Caceres, Lichnowsky, which is very interesting. 29-year-old center back. He's playing for Club America, but on loan from Tigres. I mean, there's a storyline in itself. Make sure you go in 100% on these tackles. All right. He's a Tigres guy on loan. 7 caps for Chile. And then Miguel Layún, the veteran, as a right back, certainly if he gets a start, he's definitely somebody who can handle the big occasion. We know that. So this is going to be great, Liga MX. Back to Major League Soccer. That was a phenomenal, I believe that was a phenomenal presentation of Major League Soccer. Stadium looked good, looked amazing on TV. Excellent game. We'll ask Pat Onstad and Ben Olsen about it, get their thoughts on that. Inter Miami, Lionel Messi. I mean, they're going to get their money's worth out of him. Saudi Arabia, there's a tournament called the Riyadh Season Cup. Inter Miami, Al Hilal, and Al Nassr. Al Nassr is Ronaldo's team. First game is Monday, January 29th at Kingdom Arena in Riyadh. And then February 1st will be the one everybody's waiting for. Messi against Ronaldo. Inter Miami against Al Nassr. Does that interest you? Does that interest you? I see Vicente.
As a football fan, I have to say yes, but just to watch this Messi versus Ronaldo cup. That's about it.
But is it really a cup, or is it just some great staging for Lionel Messi against Cristiano Ronaldo, which obviously still sells in a big, big way globally? Right?
Yeah, on their way out, they're trying to make as much money as they possibly can.
All right, you know what? What I say here in the next 45 seconds, I believe they will cancel this tournament based on what I'm about to say, because we already know, out of the two guys, who is the better guy, okay? All right, you ready? Note the tongue-in-cheek here. Messi versus Ronaldo, let's go into the numbers. They've played against each other 35 times. Who do you think's got more wins?
Gotta have to say Messi.
16 wins for Messi, 10 for Ronaldo, 9 draws. Okay, next category. Who's had more goals and more goal contributions? We'll make this quick.
Goal contributions is Messi, there's no way.
Yeah. 21 goals, 12 assists for him. Ronaldo had 20 goals, 1 assist, 32 goal contributions. for Leo Messi, 21 for Cristiano Ronaldo. That's it. Don't anybody ever call my show again to try to debate this. It's over. We're canceling the Riyadh Cup in Saudi Arabia. We've done it here on Soccer Matters against the world. All right. Leo Messi, by the way, now the face of Michelob Ultra. And Houston, Texas, we await Lionel Messi coming here. Girona's a great story in La Liga. They're in first place, 13 wins, 2 draws, only 1 loss. I don't know if people remember Marcelo Claure, but he's also owns Club Bolivar in Bolivia. He's Bolivian. My sister knew him very well because she worked with him corporate insurance-wise with a lot of his companies. He's a big soccer fan. I think he owns like 45% of Girona. All right, we're going to take a break. This is called Sounds of Africa. Football fan, it's called. It's a great song. Got a wonderful vibe to it. And we're going to come back, and we're going to get live here and real with Houston Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad and also Dynamo Head Coach Ben Olson. It's all brought to you by Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. The Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. DaspitLaw.com.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's Frankie Goes to Hollywood, right? That's the cover of Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. All right, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I bet Pat may know him. Ben, I'm not sure. Well, Ben would know the 80s, I think. So we got General Manager Pat Onstad in studio, Ben Olson, as we come back here. Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So first off, guys, first Pat, Ben, thanks for coming up here. I think this is a special night for all of us, and we appreciate you being here live. Live is always better. If you can look at someone, it's much more fun for certainly the host. So thanks for coming.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Ben, thank you.
Yeah, good to see you.
All right, let's get it started. And I'll start with you, Ben, and we'll do a little bit of I'll do a little traffic copping here. Okay. And we'll get to some of the good media off-season issues. I know a lot of the fans are really excited about this. Did this season exceed your expectations?
Yes. Yeah, I think I've been fairly clear about that over the last couple weeks, even leading into this, or into the last game. But the expectations were, at least from my end, that we would make the playoffs, that we'd be right there. But there were some other things that were equally important in building the right foundation for the next few years, right, and creating some culture and a winning mentality. So those were kind of coupled with, you know, let's get into the postseason, right? That's kind of where we were at. But things started to click, you know, about halfway through. You know, we started to figure some things out, and then the expectations started to change. And particularly after winning a trophy and seeing this thing kind of quickly come together once we figured out the right recipe later in the season, then, you know, it was evident that this team was, there was more to it than just making the playoffs. And it was just a fun ride. And again, we're very appreciative of the ride, but Pat and I were already talking today. We looked at each other and we're just like, you know, it's going to happen quick. And we've already turned, and a lot of focus is already on next year.
So watching you from the outside, right, from even just from the radio booth, I was about to say TV, radio booth, I noticed you, as the season went on and some things started falling in place, you seemed to be, it was almost like you were a little more at peace, that you felt things were coming, like in your coaching box, the first 10 games, yeah. You were like, you know, the Black Panther on the prowl.
It's tricking everyone.
But then, but not that people don't love that. They love that about you. But I got the sense that you were getting more comfortable.
Well, a lot of those games, I was just enjoying the way our team was playing. Mm-hmm. And in the way that everybody else was, and just stepping back. And I didn't really feel like I needed to have the emotion that I had early. Some of that was, you know, we needed that early. we needed to before we really found ourselves in our groove. You need a little bit of that. And part of that as a leader is, you know, however helpless you feel, maybe acting out a little bit early and having some passion. And I thought some of that resonated with the group and the fans, and, you know, pushing this group along when we weren't really at our best early in the first quarter of the game. And yeah, as it went, I was more comfortable with who we were and that the players were prepared, and you didn't have to do as much with the group going through. But it was, again, an enjoyable year.
Ben Olsen live in studio. Did I hear you say this was your most enjoyable year of coaching?
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah, not even close.
Hands down. And give me the reasons, not only the success.
Well, the project itself was a lot of fun, you know, working with Pat and Asher. And again, at DC, I've said this before, it was about sustaining something and kind of rinse and repeat. And this was just a whole new challenge. And starting new with new people, new staff, a new team. And I also really enjoyed the way this team went about it, both on the field, you know, aesthetically, it was a joy to watch, but also the way they conducted themselves in the locker room and the bonds and the organic culture that they, the players created within themselves to really, they enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it, and they made me look at maybe leadership and coaching a little bit of a different way, that you can do it in the way they went about it this year.
It's Ben Olsen in studio. So is Pat Onstad. Well, we heard a very good word there, sustainability. And sustainability, I think, was going on before the end of the season, right, when it comes to looking at this roster. Now you guys have a huge challenge here. Success breeds a lot of things. You're going to be in four competitions. You got people coming in for players and coaches. Where are you at right now with it all, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still reflecting on what we did last year. You know, I thought Ben and his staff did an excellent job of getting the most out of this group. But I think, you know, we want to try to get more. And it's a challenge I kind of put towards the staff today, actually, in a meeting, and then also down in front of the entire staff of the company, was just to say, now we have a little bit of a target in our back, not a championship, MLS Cup championship, but we have a new US Open Cup championship, and we had some success. So for us to get better, everybody individually has to do so. And then on top of that, you know, we need to make some tweaks to the group, whether that's, you know, in the attack, defense, I think it'll go back and forth, but we still need to have some work to do.
So after this remarkable season, you know, one thing I remember having the radio show in Austin and covering Austin FC, after they had that spectacular second year, Driussi, everything he hit was gold. You know, it was a remarkable season for them. They almost got to the MLS Cup final. Is there anything you learned from that? Because, you know, they really hit a downward spiral this year. I don't know how much of that is about roster or what, but yeah. What are your observations?
I mean, Ben could probably answer this as well, so I'll sure. Kind of try to make it quick. But when you talk about sustainability, I do believe there's a lot of teams in this league that'll have a blip of success and then they'll fall right back off again. And I think for us, and it's certainly been my goal since I got here in 2022, is to build something that year in, year out, we can fight for trophies. And to do that, the first step in our league is to make the playoffs on a regular basis. So, you know, how do you go about that? I believe you still have to make changes every year, even though we had a very successful team. But you need guys that are hungry. We're very lucky, and I think Ben touched on that. This group really enjoys being around one another. And we have a lot of guys that have a history of winning titles and trophies and lifting up trophies. So I'm not as concerned about making drastic changes to our group, because I think we did a good job of bringing in those type of guys, and now they've tasted success.
Yeah.
And maybe in a small piece of it is we didn't win the trophy that we ultimately all thrive for, is MLS Cup. We want to win another great trophy in US Open Cup, but I think these guys will come back hungry.
Ben? Yeah, you just can't stay still. Yeah. You know, you can't move sideways.
You know, I heard somebody once say, every year you have to make like one significant signing. Like, you know, a big signing. Big signing that makes a locker room kind of open their eyes maybe a little bit more.
I think we're lucky that we're going to bring back a core group. And that continuity is important, too, as much as it's to freshen it up and change things. Also, continuity within a core group is vital to sustaining some success. But I do believe in it, whether it's the off season, especially after you've done well, to bring competition in, bring some new ideas from a coaching staff. And then even in the summer, in the transfer windows, it's always, always, again, from a coaching standpoint, important to have new blood, new competition, and new ideas. Because we're all human nature, right?
We need a few of those on this show.
That's why you guys are here today. We all need it. You know, these guys need to keep you, you know, keep you hungry. It's the same in every field, and we all need a little extra motivation, in particular when things went well.
Ben Olsen, Dynamo head coach, Pat Onstad in studio here tonight talking everything Houston Dynamo. Hope you're out there enjoying this here tonight. This will also be available. Obviously, it's on twitch.tv, ESPN 97.5. These interviews go up on YouTube, Soccer Matters, so you can listen after to the fact of this program here tonight. So CONCACAF Champions League, we got international competition back. I'm loving this. I'm loving this, Ben. I saw a smile on your face. You loved it as a player. You love it as a coach. Just your excitement about qualifying for that. And I just want to say really quickly, fourth place in the Western Conference semifinals, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup winners. For those of you who are listening in and have not really jumped on the Dynamo as far as a professional team in town. All right, so international competition.
Just great bonding and experiences for coaches and the team to go together, to go to another country. We've been going to Mexico. We went to Mexico in preseason last year. We're going to go again most likely this year or next year. And when you go down to Costa Rica, Honduras, Mexico, these are just chances to grow and put your team in a different environment. And, you know, again, I think it only helps you if you can manage it in the right way, that can help you grow as a team and give more experience for certain individuals that haven't gone to Mexico and played against, you know, not all these guys are national team players. Not all of them get to go play all over the world for the country. So this is their opportunity in some ways to go to another country and play high competition. And it's just, I've been doing it since, man, 99. I jumped into the league in 98. And we were already in the CONCACAF, so it was a big deal. And Pat as well. We were on successful teams early, so it was straight into CONCACAF and great memories and glad to be back into it.
And Pat, you've been a part, like Ben, of all these great international games as a player. Leagues Cup, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It was a good measuring stick for us. Came at an interesting time in the season. I think for our group, it was a great moment for us to kind of press reset. You know, we got a hard-fought draw away just before leading into it in Colorado. And I think that gave our group confidence. We'd been in a bit of a short tailspin, I would say. But it gave our group confidence and gave the coaching staff an opportunity, too, to try some different guys in different positions. And I think one guy that made a huge jump in that moment was Griffin Dorsey. He took it and ran with it. So I think for us, it was a good challenge. And then the one nice thing for us is, we're playing on home soil, but we're also challenging ourselves against some very good Mexican teams. We were lucky with our draw. We got to play, you know, Santos Laguna and Pachuca, two very good teams. And I thought it was a good measuring stick for us in the region.
All right. So a lot of the fans are looking at the MLS Cup Final, Columbus Crew, LAFC, and then they're going back to the LAFC game where the front four had a rough time. The two outside backs played fantastic for LAFC, Palacios and Hollingshead. You had a hard time getting behind him. At the end of the day, it was tough for the front four. For me, it seemed like Hector had a lot of weight on his shoulders in that game. That question is coming to you guys about that game and if that game reiterated something you already knew about the attacking side of the team or helped enlighten you more. I think I may know the answer, but I'm not here to answer it. It's for you guys. So when we come back, we got more with Ben Olsen. We got more with Pat Onstad. We got a lot to talk about. We want to go through some players and some transactions that you've made, Pat, and what's in that GM's head and the head coach's head as well. We're drilling deep here tonight. I'm on the line with the listeners, so I got to get it done tonight. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. By the way, Little Patagonia empanadas. We're having them. Jack, go get some. Edgar, go get some, please. Everybody leaves here tonight eating great empanadas. Little Patagonia empanadas. They are located at 5393 Westheimer Road, right near the studio. We'll take a break. Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713, call now. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, maritime, whatever it is. Maybe you drive an 18-wheeler. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. And look, I tell people, I was just telling Pat Onstad, the Dynamo General Manager, and Ben Olson, the head coach, about how good our anchor sponsor, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm is, because they've kept us on the air. And I had recounted the fact that, fortunately, I had a home set up during the pandemic. And, you know, that was a time everybody was losing sponsorship, businesses were closing, and the Daspit Law Firm stuck with us. And John is a big soccer fan. So that's where we're at. All right, so let's get back to it. So we were talking about that last game. Remember the question? We were talking about maybe it exposed the front four a little bit and goal scoring. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a good question for the general manager.
Definitely not a question for the general manager.
I'll take that one. Listen, you know, we beat LA twice in the regular season, but we knew going into this game that this was a different animal. And we had we saw them obviously last year in the postseason, and also the games leading into this game against them this year. They're different. They turn it up in the playoffs. So we knew we were going to be dealing with one of the best teams in the league, one of the best teams the league has ever really put together over the last 2 years. We knew we were going to deal with a real physicality, a real heavy transition team that with Bawanga and Vela and their physicality on set piece, we knew what it was going to look like for the most part. In the end, we were just toothless in the final third. It just, we got in there enough, you know, 70% of the possession. We had enough of the ball to get more chances. And we just fell short. We fell short with some ideas in the final third. We fell short in quality. And we also fell short in some individual performances, frankly. And this happens sometimes. But saying that, we also played against a very, very good back line and midfield. So we have to give them some credit too and take that, take away from that. Like, okay, if that's the bar, if that's one of the best teams, what can we learn from that now? What can we learn about ourselves and where we can get better in the offseason? How do we beat a team like LA in LA next year? So we have to think about that and tweak our team to beat the best in the West. But we also can't get so caught up in that game where we start doing things that are getting away from what we're trying to build here and be thoughtful, still being ourselves and growing.
No knee jerk.
Yeah, it's not knee jerk. We you know, again, we had a lot of ball. We stuck to how we played and our identity, and we didn't play great. We didn't play great in the attacking third. We missed some connections. I know people don't want to hear it, but the field stunk, and there was a lot of, you know, you couldn't really see that on television, but it was tough to maybe have some of that final stuff or Coco to Griff, and so there was some. It was, again, overall just not our night, but they're a very good team and they stifled us. So we learn from it. We'll take that back, but we won't go overboard and change. I think it didn't change anything we're thinking of how we go in the offseason.
You may have been thinking about this already, basic needs. I think what a lot of the fans were looking at was simply, hey, we want more attacking pieces. We want a natural center forward. We want maybe a dribbler who can break lines because maybe that's the best antidote for a well-organized team is the individual. So is that the priority in the offseason to attacking pieces?
Yeah, I think we want to try to get better on the attack. You know, as Ben said, we got stifled a little bit against LA. And as you mentioned, too, you have to give LA credit. They're a good team. There's a reason they were the champions last year. And they've been to three finals, I believe, this year now. They did a good job of shutting down kind of our key threat. So how do we get better maybe with secondary threats? How do we figure out other ways? to create goal scoring opportunities for a group. And I don't think you have to complain or say sorry about the field was shocking to get to that level of this league and to get at this point. It's disappointing that you play in a field like that.
Did it have a lot of water in it?
It had obviously been worn down. It hadn't been growing much. So they threw rye down, so it looked nice and green. But yeah. It was a poor surface. It was sand with mixed in with a bit of rye grass. But so the ball just kind of sat underneath the grass. It's not strong enough to hold it up. But regardless, that's not why the game didn't go our way. LA played better than us on the night. But I think we went into that game. We had a pretty good idea of what we need to do in the off season and. That game didn't change anything. I think that's what Ben's hinting at is, we don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater after one game.
But you did say prior.
Yeah.
You're definitely not standing pat, and you
want
to.
No, we want to get better. I think we touched on that. I think last segment is we want to get better in everything we do, and we're always looking to try to improve the team. And to Ben's point, whether it's bringing another coach on the coaching staff, whether it's bringing in better players. Whether it's finding a better GM, everybody's looking to try to get better.
Yeah, I don't think
that's our goal here, and I think we're, we're certainly already 10 days into this off season, and we're trying to get better.
All right, let me take you into this then. When you're looking for players now, because you guys, your sort of game model, whatever you want to call it, your lineup, your tactics changed a little bit. It was very interesting, actually, from the outside, the way everything evolved during the year. You kind of went to this box where Coco's got this kind of hybrid role and he's in the interior. You have the addition of Griffin Dorsey bringing you wide game now. Do you look for players now? And I'll put this to both of you, starting with you, Pat. Do you look for players now that are going to fit that sort of box system that you've been successful with? Or if you found a player out there that you just said, we got an opportunity here, would you slightly alter your tactics for that player?
Well, slightly altering tactics, that's Ben's job. That's his choice and his job. But what we do is we talk a lot about how we're playing and how we feel. We're happy with the way this group kind of gelled together. And I think, I give Ben all the credit in the world. With 17 new players, it takes time to find what's the best fit with these guys. And I think we had a different version of what we thought the beginning of the season was going to look like. We're trying to put 4-3.
Well, you guys admitted that throughout the year. You said it was evolving,
and that's
changing.
All Ben. Ben and his coaching staff figuring out what's the best fit for these guys. To a certain extent, I think we'd all agree that Coco Karaski is probably playing a little bit out of position in his best position, and that's where, to me, where you get a guy like Ben Olsen and what his strength is. He's convincing Coco to play out of position for the betterment of the team. And he knows this will help our team be successful. And he got full buy-in from these guys. There's a lot of guys in there. You're telling Franco Escobar, who's played on the right side his whole career, and say, by the way, you're going to be our starting left back now. And he's like, are you crazy? And sure enough, he buys in. And Ben can smile because he's got a lot of Franco Escobar stories. Yeah. But it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to watch when you see a coach and his staff, but just see them how they kind of evolve and get the best out of the group. And I thought it was a masterclass performance by Ben and his group.
Thank you. Yeah, it was when we talk about joy, that was one of the fun parts. And again, I have a great staff around me. And there were all these iterations throughout the year and these moments of, and sometimes they happen by act. You have an injury. Okay, let's try this here. And that process together as a staff and the team, because they're involved in kind of some of these discussions of getting to where we needed to be, where we thought, okay, everybody's in the best positions to succeed individually and collectively, and the relationships together that we talk about, and pairing up players and letting some of that relationship soccer happen. That was a really enjoyable process, and that blank canvas that we were trying to fill. And I think we're close, we're close, but there's always going to be tweaks. We'll probably start in that way in that same game model.
I mean, are you looking for players that fit that system now?
I think always. Yeah. We're pretty comfortable with that for now. But we've also been through this enough that very quickly things change. And one or two pieces come in that you think make sense in that structure. And like, wait, let's try this. Maybe this isn't working. So we're always trying to move forward and adapt and maximize what we have. And that's kind of the enjoyable part from a staff standpoint, and I got a good crew around me.
Well, you're talking about a great crew, but you're losing a big guy. Brendan Burke, right?
Yeah.
Going to Hartford Athletic. Now, yeah. He's technically your first assistant. Is that a fair
term?
Yeah,
you could call him that. Yeah, okay. For sure. Everybody, you know, with my staff, everybody has kind of a – they're all in silos, and they,
right.
they everybody has a big role. I need to hide a lot of my deficiencies. Everybody works a lot if you're working for me.
So to fill that role, is it a promotion from within your staff, or do you look outside for something fresh, a different mindset?
We're open to that, Everything. But most likely we're looking outside of the staff I currently have. Yes.
Because right. as you mentioned before, just like me, you got to find people that are good at things you're not good at. I'm a lousy salesman. That's for one thing. I can tell you that. All right. So can we go over a couple of players? All right. Tell us about the Corey Bairds. I think that one surprised people a little bit, Pat.
Yeah. When you have success in this league, the league is designed to have parity, and you get up against the cap pretty quick when there's a lot of bonuses that were hit, and that counts against the cap the next year. So, Corey had an excellent season for us. You know, he's in a contract year where he hits free agency tomorrow when free agency opens. We discussed a contract with him, but for us to be able to do that and get the pieces that we need around, we need to probably move somebody out. That somebody's probably like a Coco Carrasquilla. You'd have to sell and get that, but that's not going to happen at this point. It'll happen maybe in January or maybe not till the summer. So, you know, the unfortunate thing for Corey is he needs to get paid come January 1. He doesn't get paid. So it's disappointing because I think he put everything into our group this year. He gave Ben everything he had, and Ben will be the first to tell you it helped us play the way we played. He stretched the back four. He was excellent for us. So it's disappointing, but you have to make those kind of choices as you move along, and you can't bring everyone back. And unfortunately, it, right now, at this point in time, it's going to be difficult to bring Corey back.
And he's another one that would be an example of playing out of position technically, right, along with maybe Franco. And
He's another example of versatility. And a guy that was selfless in the season and willing to play wherever we needed him to play. And he was fairly successful in all those spots, left, right, played up high. And you know, it was nice to see him on a personal note. He didn't have the best season last year or the year. He was in a little bit of a funk. And to see him come out of that at a good time in a contract year, good for Corey. You know, he did a great job, and now he's going to have options to further his career. Maybe it's with us, maybe it's somewhere else.
All right. The Albatross is Sebas Ferreira, right? Hasn't left and scored goals on loan in Brazil. He holds down a DP spot. What are you thinking about that right now?
We'll see. You know, I've been texting back and forth with him. We're trying to find a solution, I think, that satisfies all parties, but in the end, there's a good chance that he'll be back here in mid-January with our group, and hopefully he'll come back and be hungry to score goals for us.
So if he came in lean, mean, fit, ready to go, aggressive, does he fit your plans potentially?
Yeah, he'll be part of the team, and we'll figure it out, and we'll preseason day one start evaluating where he's at and what we look like with him, without him, and it'll be no different than it would be the start of this preseason last year. I have some more ideas on him and what he brings to the table now. But if he's here, he's part of the group, and he'll contribute.
Awesome. Okay, now I'm not sure Exxon is the best name for a player coming to a club that's got a big sponsor named Shell, but I don't even know if it's Exxon. Exxon Arzu is a young Honduran. I guess he's very young. Real España, under 20 Honduran national team. You guys picked him up. Is he for Dynamo 2, or is he a potential in the future?
Yeah, Dynamo 2, but this is kind of news to us a little bit.
Oh, okay. It's breaking news, finally. I've got some breaking news.
Thanks for breaking the news.
Okay, so he's probably Dynamo 2. How about this guy, Isaiah LaFleur, left back?
So he came in, played about a year and a half with us with our second group. He's a really good athlete on the wing. He had a bit of an up-and-down season this year with Dynamo 2. Kind of was on the up at the end of the year. But for us, we're overloaded at left back. Okay. And that's his best spot. And the reality is he wanted to have the opportunity to get an MLS contract. We offered him a Dynamo 2 contract again, but he was able to get a secure Philadelphia Union first team contract. So we're happy for him that he was able. We were able to develop him a little bit. Unfortunately for him, he was just kind of blocked with the amount of left backs.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll begin to open up the phone lines in a little bit. 713-780-3776. Having a great time. By the way, a couple of my former youth players, Ben, ran into you.
We had a great
guys,
time.
These guys love you.
They loved me. They loved you. They couldn't stop talking about your coaching ability. They did. They said they loved you.
No. Well, one of their teammates was the coach of Notre Dame that lost to Clemson last night in the final, Chad Riley at Notre Dame. Yeah. So Clemson's the national champions. This is Def Leppard. These guys love soccer, by the way. They're all from Sheffield, England. So they're big soccer fans. I think they were Sheffield United fans. Yeah, not Wednesday. All right, we're going to take a break here. Come back more. 713-780-3776. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Dynamo Head Coach Ben Olson in studio here. This is a lot of fun.